Good morning, church. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship here in the northeast of Scotland. Welcome to our Sunday service. We are still broadcasting from here in my study in Avis and looking forward to having church with you this morning. So it's gone 11 o'clock. I'm just waiting for a few people to join. I know I've got one comment already, so good to see you. But we'll just wait a few moments until people start joining us. It's a beautiful morning here. Even though it's cloudy, it's still a beautiful morning in Scotland. Welcome to all of you who are watching. I want to give a special welcome this morning if there is anyone watching from Langbride and Urquhart, where we normally have our church in Langbride. I noticed on Facebook yesterday that one of our team, Michelle, had posted up an invite onto the community website. So if you're joining us today from one of those villages, you're very welcome. And I'd like to point out that as soon as we do start meeting again in the hall at Langbride, you, of course, will be very welcome to join us in person. We start our services normally at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. And as soon as we can get back in the hall, we will be there and we will advertise when that is happening. So if you're from Langbride and Urquhart this morning, welcome. If you're watching later, welcome. It is really good to have you with us. And I was going to say, all our normal people, everyone who normally comes on, you are very welcome too. So we are going to have our normal Sunday service that we've been having for the last 3 months this morning. I will be giving you the word, teaching through scriptures. We're carrying on with our I Am series. I will receive an offering and we will take communion together. So if you've not had time yet to get your elements, I would suggest you go and grab them now or prepare them during the offering. Anyway, I'm going to pray and we're going to start our service this morning. So Father, I thank you so much that we're here. Thank you that even though we can't get into our church building, we can gather together around your word. We can come together in spirit to worship you, Father, to look at your word, to sow into your kingdom, to take communion together and have time to focus on Jesus. So I thank you for our time this morning. I thank you that it will be blessed. I thank you, Father, that you say you will never leave us nor forsake us. So wherever we are this morning, in whatever home we're in, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that you are always with us, and I thank you that you will never leave us. You are a good, good Father. We love you and we praise you. And we thank you for our service this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's great. There are a few people starting to join now. That's good. So I am going to start with a message. I'm going to look at the word. And as I do, I am going to pray before I look at the word. You may have noticed that every time I look at the scriptures, I pray for understanding, and that is biblical. The enemy doesn't want us to understand the word. He's always looking to try and get the word removed from us. But he can't remove it if we understand it. So I'm going to pray that right now, and then we'll start our message. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths held within your scriptures. I thank you that all scripture is breathed of you, Father. So I thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. I thank you that the word is described as a seed, an incorruptible seed. And I thank you that we're now about to plant seeds into the ground of our heart. So I pray for understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that I say is understood so that these seeds will not be stolen away by the enemy. Understanding, and then these seeds will germinate and grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at the word. I'm actually nearing the end of a little mini-series that I started 5 or 6 weeks ago, looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And I believe this morning I'm coming to one of the most important ones. Well, you know, they're all important. But the one I'm going to speak about today is absolutely essential, an absolutely essential truth for our faith. Without this truth, our faith is worthless, pointless, means nothing. The word tells us that. So Jesus is saying something very vital to us here. But what have I said so far in this series? Well, we looked at when Jesus simply said, I am. When he expressed his deity, expressed his divinity, telling us that he was and he is God. He said, I am the bread of life. He is the only way to meet the spiritual needs of men. And once he meets them once, and he meets them for eternity. We then saw a picture of grace and law when he said, I am the light of the world. He also said, I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. And there we see Jesus as meeting our physical needs out of a place of eternal security. And I was especially blessed by that message. And last week, we looked at another wonderful truth when Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we learned that this was an exclusive message, but not in a bad way. Exclusive as he is the only way to relationship with the Father. But also a very inclusive message because everyone is invited. Anyone and everyone is invited to this party. Hallelujah. And the way has been made to come to the Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we're going to carry on with the I am statements this morning. I'm doing them chronologically as we see them, as we go through John. So turn with me to John chapter 11. And the statement we are going to look at is right in the middle of a real famous encounter that Jesus has in the scriptures. The resurrection of Lazarus. And everybody knows about that. Even if you've not gone to church, everybody knows about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Jesus brings Lazarus back to life. Awesome, wonderful account of Jesus' humanity and his compassion. So I read the whole account a couple of times over the last few days while I've been preparing for this message. And it was quite strange. I didn't marvel at the miracle of Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life. What I had was a feeling of sorrow, of sadness as I was reading this account. I was sad for Jesus. You see, I was reading this, I just thought, he just cannot do anything right for some people. There are some people who will just never get him. And we see that in the scriptures. Well, if you were here, he would not have died, i.e., it's your fault. This guy says he can heal blind people. Why was he not here to heal Lazarus? Your fault. And then, after the miracle, we see people saying, what's this guy up to? How can we stop him? How can we stop him? What, bringing healing to people and bringing people back to life? The way some religious minds worked back then is truly staggering. What's this guy up to? How can we get rid of him? Well, Jesus knew this was all going on. And I think that is why Jesus wept. I'm not sure it was for his dead friend. I mean, just think about it. Why would Jesus weep for Lazarus when he knew he was just about to raise him from the dead? I think Jesus was weeping because of the cynicism and the hatred that much of mankind had for him. And unfortunately, that's as true today as it was back then. But we do see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But we see him speaking about resurrection just before this. So go with me to John 11, and I want to read from verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Wonderful. But a very interesting statement from Jesus. I quite often say it's really important sometimes to look at what the word is not saying as well as what the word is saying. And in this one, note that Jesus does not say, I will be resurrected. He does not say, I will be resurrected. He says, I am the resurrection. He is identifying himself with that meaning, concept, idea, event, whatever. He is identifying himself with it. He is personifying himself in that word resurrection. It's a bit like saying, I am the truth. You know, we know truth as a concept, as an ideal, as an idea, has a meaning. We don't normally identify a person or a thing as truth. But John 1:17 tells us that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is truth. He is the personification of truth. And that is what he is doing here. He is saying, I am the resurrection. Me, I am the resurrection and the life. At this point, he is not saying the resurrection as an event. He did that, though. He did that a few times. I think I preached on that recently about the three or four times where Jesus, either in pictures or just straight out, says, I am going to die and be resurrected. He did say that. He said, I will be resurrected. But here he is saying, I am the resurrection. He's identifying himself as a person with that. What he's saying here, folks, is that that resurrection power, that what is needed for resurrection, the power to raise from the dead, is part of me. That is what he's saying. It is himself. It is in his person. And he displays that, of course, when he raises Lazarus, and displays it even more powerfully when he himself is raised from the dead, when the resurrection actually became an event. The most important event in human history, most significant event ever in the history of the world. Now, I saw a video recently online, and it was a discussion about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was like a panel. There was one guy leading the discussion and two other guys debating and discussing it. And one guy was a philosopher and a liberal theologian. And he was talking about why for him the physical resurrection wasn't the important thing. And it wasn't actually essential for him. It wasn't needed. It wasn't of importance. Whether it happened or not, it was not a worry to him. What was important was the picture, the analogy, the concept of a spiritual resurrection that was vital. And the other guy, who I really liked, prominent scientist and Christian writer, was having none of this. He wasn't agreeing with that at all. And he was saying he was incredulous. He just couldn't believe that another Christian was saying what he was saying. For him, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ was of the utmost importance. It was absolutely vital and absolutely central to his faith as a born-again believer. And I think he is correct. I think the scientist actually knew his Bible better than the theologian. Go with me to Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. Let's see on the screen here. 2 Corinthians. Actually, that must be 1 Corinthians. Yes, it's 1 Corinthians. There's no 2 Corinthians 15, is there? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. I'm just going to hide that. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. It repeats that in verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. It goes even further. Ye are yet in your sins. Oh, that is so powerful. This is such a strong statement. Without his resurrection, without him coming back from the dead physically, our Christian faith is worthless, pointless, null and void. Now, in our fellowship, we talk about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And dying on the cross, great as it is, was part of that finished work. It wasn't the entirety of his finished work. Yes, he died on the cross. He took our sins and sickness and punishment and disease and illness on that cross. Yes, he took them to the grave with him. But he rose again, hallelujah, and left everything in the grave. Left all of those things in the grave. He was raised again so that we could rise up again too in our new birth, born spiritually to live in this new life of health and joy and peace and abundance. Awesome. His resurrection was essential for this, essential for us, so that we could be raised up with him again. Here's hoping I've got this one right. Let's go to Colossians 2. There is only one Colossians, so that's a good start. Colossians 2, 9 to 12. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Raised with him. For that to happen, my friend, he had to be raised first. But Vic, I know the word says God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, I know. But God was with him. And in him. We see that from the Gospels. That raising from the dead power was inside Jesus. In that sense, he was the resurrection. He had that power bodily within him. It was part of him. He was the resurrection. Awesome. Just in the same way as he was truth. And he was grace. And this, my friends, must be part of our belief system. Must be part of our core beliefs. Go back to John again. What does John do in verse 26? He says to Martha, do you believe this? Jesus had just told Martha all these truths about himself. And then I pictured it, I just saw it, I imagined him looking her in the eye and saying, do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? He gives an invite based upon this truth, makes it personal to Martha, asks her to decide, asks her to choose. He says, whoever lives and believes this will not die. And he then asks, are you a whosoever? Here again, we have this inclusive yet exclusive message. Same as I spoke about in the I am the way, the truth and the life. Whosoever. There's the inclusion. Whosoever includes everyone and anyone. But it's belief in Jesus, trust in Jesus and what he did, what he went through, what happened to him. That is the root to this life. Hence, again, it is exclusive. You may say, well, that's just not fair. Why is it exclusive? Well, listen to last week's message, but I'll just give you a little summary of it. It is exclusively received through Jesus because Jesus was the only one who exclusively dealt with all our sin and all our sickness. Amen. He exclusively went to the cross. He exclusively took the sin of mankind on himself. He exclusively went to the grave. He exclusively rose again. So he is the only way to the Father. But it's inclusive. It is available to whosoever. Believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and you move into abundant eternal life. That is what he is saying here. This is not saying if you believe in him, you will never physically die. That's not a biblical principle. I've heard some people saying that, but don't build a doctrine out of one verse. What we see Jesus doing normally is speaking about physical things to paint a picture or an analogy of a spiritual truth about himself. And that's what he's doing here. When he's saying you will not die, that means you're going to have eternal life in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. We will die physically sometime. Unless, of course, Jesus comes back first. But we will never die spiritually. Okay, Vic, so this is about eternity. It's all about heaven then. Well, not quite. Because he says he is the life. And this is a similar message to what I spoke on last week. This word life is Zoe life, God's kind of life. And that is available now. What we have in our spirit is for eternity, but also we can manifest that from our spirit into our bodies now. Hallelujah. Jesus dealt with sickness, rejection, depression, poverty, and left them in the grave. And when we are born again, in our born-again spirit, in a sense, we leave those things in the grave as well. And in our spirit, we are born healed, prosperous, at peace, accepted, adopted. Hallelujah. And we can manifest all those things in this physical life now, here on earth, through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. That's Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1, verse 3, of course. So, do you actually believe in the physical resurrection then, Vic? Well, actually, yes, I do. But Vic, some people say it was a lie. You know, some people say it was just the disciples saying this to spread their message. Well, first thing, it wasn't their message. It was a message of and from Jesus. It wasn't their message. They were passing this on. And if they were passing on a lie, would they have died for it? Surely one of them would have cracked and said, no, before you turn, crucify me upside down, before you stone me, before you do whatever other gruesome death that the disciples went through. Before you do that, just let me tell you, it was a lie. Really sorry. No, none of them did that. All the disciples, all the risen disciples, bar one, had a violent death. Because of the gospel. Why would the original disciples die for a lie? Go through what they went through for a lie. Well, Vic, they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost. That gave them power. The prelude to that was having seen the risen Christ. A handful of men and women spread the gospel through the known world with persecution that we just cannot imagine because they had seen the risen Christ and believed the truth about that. Okay, we can't see the risen Christ, but we can believe the truth. We can do what great things like the disciples because we can answer in the same way that Martha answered Jesus' question. And Jesus is still asking men and women this question today. Right now he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way to eternal life. What do you believe? Do you believe this? And I believe that if you say the same as Mary, I believe you're the Christ, I believe you're the Son of God, and believe what he went through and believe what he did, believe that he was raised from the dead, amen, you'll be saved. That's a correct and appropriate answer to that question, based on the evidence of his resurrection. The route to God the Father is inclusive. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me. Now there's an important point. Just noticed that the last couple of days. I've read this a few times, but I just saw the importance of it. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me. This decision needs to be made in this life. This side of the grave. Our eternity what happens the other side of the grave is dependent on the decisions we make this side of the grave. Dependent on our choice in this life. For Jesus or not, in him or not. You know, eventually everything we do in this physical life is irrelevant. Whether you're a believer, whether you're a non-believer, the things of this world are eventually going to be irrelevant. In a million years, whether you believe or not. What we did in terms of school, career, jobs, life choices, whether we made good use of the time during lockdown or binged on Netflix, is not going to be relevant. Only one choice has relevance in eternity. Only one thing has importance eternally, and that's answering this question about Jesus. Do you believe this? And the good news is that if you are watching or listening this, you are this side of the grave. Amen? You are alive. You liveth. You can answer that question in the positive today and move on into that abundant life that Jesus has provided for you. And if you believe in Jesus, that's great, that's even better. But you can increase your understanding of this truth and move into a greater revelation of abundant life. Good news, and it's inclusive. Make sure I get that right word. It is good news and it is inclusive. But it's a bit like the way into my back garden, if you remember my message from last week. There's only one way into my back garden if you want to come and sit down and have a coffee with me. Now, I'm not making it awkward for you, but it's an exclusive way in. There's only one way in. But I'm inviting you all. You're all invited. Again. So, exclusive, one way in, but inclusive, available to everyone. That's the gospel. Jesus did die, but he was resurrected. Why? Because he was the resurrection. The raising from the dead power was inside of him. So was him. It was part of him. He was the resurrection. And once saved, my friends, here's an amazing truth. That power is also then inside of you. If you said yes to that question, you have the raising from the dead power inside you this morning, just as Jesus did. And I think if we realise that, understand it, truly believe it, and start acting as if we had the raising from the dead power inside of us, that has the potential not just to change ourselves, not just to change our family, not just to change our village and country, but to change the world. Hallelujah. That truth, that revelation, manifestation of that power, that is what is going to bring revival into our land and into this world. Not another program of 3 days of fasting and praying. Not another attempt to use 2 Chronicles 7:14 to twist God's arm to bring revival. Not other old covenant practices. No, new covenant Christianity operating from the understanding that we have the raising from the dead power inside of us. That, my friends, is what is going to bring revival, and that is exciting. Knowledge of and the utilization of the power that we already have inside of us. That is what the world needs. Amen. And that is only possible because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The physical resurrection. I am the resurrection and I am the life, is what Jesus said. Whoever believes on this will have eternal life. I'm going to ask you that question once again. Do you believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Bless me in preparing it. Hallelujah.